All right, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. But I just got to tell you that Colossians is my favorite book. Ephesians is my next favorite book. And I have preached this message before, but not like I'm going to do it today. And I want to stir y'all up a little bit this morning. So I hope you're ready for it. You ready? All right. We've been talking about obeying the Holy Spirit and the need to obey the Holy Spirit. And you think, well, it's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. And today we're going to find out how big of a deal it really is. We've learned in the last few weeks that when we walk with the Holy Spirit, then we crucify our flesh. And we don't do it in our power. We just do it by obeying God, obeying His Word, obeying the prompting, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, you have a bad attitude about somebody at work, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, this morning when you wake up, He says, hey, this morning we're going to show them love. And you're like, no, I don't want to show them love. And He says, yeah, but I do, and I'm going to choose you to do it through. And so you have to make that decision. Are you going to obey His voice? Well, yes, I know y'all are going to. Other churches may not, but I know y'all will. So, and it's our responsibility to obey the Holy Spirit, because as we obey the Holy Spirit, then what happens is He's leading us to do and to walk in agreement with God. Why not? Why not want to walk with God? I mean, it's better than walking with you and the crazy things you come up with. So, and then the other thing is, walking with the Holy Spirit is really simple. All you have to do is obey. Just do what He says. You don't have to argue with Him. You don't have to reason with Him. You don't have to understand it. You just do it. How easy is that? And as you do it, you and Him crucify your flesh. And we talked about this. You're in Ephesians chapter 1. Romans 8:12, we closed with this last week. Romans 8:12 says, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. So He's telling us that's not what our mission is anymore. If you're born again, your mission is not to live and please your flesh. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, everybody say if, by the Spirit, say by the Spirit. See, it's not by your flesh, it's not by your willpower, but by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Isn't that awesome? It means you'll have good life. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, is that hard? No. All you have to do to crucify your flesh is to walk with the Spirit. You know, sometimes we try and make it as hard thing. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. Obey Him. Okay? It's not that hard. Let me throw verse 17 in. I did it last week. I'll just go ahead and do it again today. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. That's the battle. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And, you know, it's amazing to me how many reasons we come up with not wanting to obey the Holy Spirit. But here's what's shocking to me is how many believers agree with the enemy and they minimize the need and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, there's a reason that the enemy doesn't want us walking and obeying the Holy Spirit. There's a reason he wants us to just minimize the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I was trying to get all this down in one message, but I can't. So you have to come back next week and hear the rest of it. The reason that he doesn't want us to learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit is because the minute that we do, we will encounter a power that will change our lives and change the lives of everybody around us, and he will lose his grip on us, and he doesn't want that to happen. He likes the stronghold he has on you. He likes the captivity that he finds you in. And so he doesn't want you listening to the Holy Spirit, because when you begin to listen to the Holy Spirit and grow in that way, you're going to come out of the pit that you're in and all the destruction that's happening in your life, and you will enter into a realm of power that is out of this world because it comes from heaven. So no wonder he goes around and he says, well, you know, you don't really need the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about him. You got him when you got saved. That's all you need to know. No, that isn't all you need to know. There's power associated with us obeying the Holy Spirit. So he's going to try, if he can't keep you from being saved, he's going to try and keep you from walking with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Pastor, preach it. You're good. I know it. It is. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are lifted out of the pit that we are in. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are drawn to Christ for salvation. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are transformed and become more and more like Jesus, conformed to his likeness and image. Now, who wouldn't want that? But I'm here to tell you, if you haven't figured this out, this doesn't happen unless you give yourself to the obedience of the Holy Spirit. You can be saved, you can be born again on your way to heaven and living like the devil 24/7. And have absolutely no change in your life. And the only reason that change comes into our life is because we decide that we are going to listen to God, we're going to come into agreement with him, aka we're going to obey the Holy Spirit. When we become more and more like him, like Jesus, then the enemy is losing his grip on us and the kingdom of God is being expanded. And so it's no wonder that he doesn't want us to learn how to obey the Holy Spirit. Because he's undone at that moment. He has lost his ability to work in us, because the Holy Spirit brings us into a realm of freedom. Everybody say freedom. Now, when you're in captivity, you're not free. When you're being held in bondage, for instance, you're being held in fear all of your life. Guess what? You're not free if you're living in fear. Can you say amen to that? If you're living in shame all of your life, then you're not living in freedom. If you're living in insecurity, you're not living in freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If we can get a hold of the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, I mean, this is amazing. And we enter into the freedom that he desires and that Jesus purchased for us, we will be changed. And again, we will be able to expand the kingdom of God. The enemy will lose his grip on us. He won't know what to do about us, because we are moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, which God wants for our lives. But the enemy always wants to minimize the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when he's able to do that, then everybody around you, your home, your neighbors, your community, they're affected because you've minimized the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. The enemy knows that if he can keep the Holy Spirit to us to be an afterthought, oh, well, he's nice. I'm glad that I have him. You're going on a trip, so let's just pray that he helps us. Let's pray that he'll be with us. But he's an afterthought. then we will not become the salt and the light that God has destined us to become for this world. When we minimize the Holy Spirit and our obedience to the Holy Spirit and our seeking the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, we find so many believers trying to be salt and light, but you have no power. You go to work and you speak like they do. You act like they do. You see like they do. Okay, if that's what you do, there's no difference in you than the world. And they look at you and all they know is, well, you go to church on Sunday, but it's not making a difference in your life. So you are not salt and light. Because we're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. There has to be a line drawn in the sand sometime when we stand up and we say, God, whatever it takes, I want to be all that you desire for my life to be and to enlarge the kingdom of God. And if that means obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit, sign me up. I'm committed to it. I'm not going to stop. We need to quit Mickey Mousing around with the Holy Spirit. We need to get serious to be wanting to obey the Holy Spirit and listening to his voice so that we can display proper Christianity to the world. And we can become the salt and light that God wants us to be. And that he died for us and rose for us to be. Ephesians chapter 1, you there? Gave you plenty of time to get there, so. Before I read it, though, I'm mad this morning. I'm mad that we do not give the Holy Spirit his due place. I'm mad that we just let him be an afterthought in our lives. And I hope to make you mad this morning. I hope you're madder than I am. Because then next week you'll come back and we'll have a different service. Can you imagine if you're a parent and you have the ability to help your children out and they keep refusing it? How would you think? How would you feel? And yet we do that. There's so much power in the Holy Spirit to change our lives. And we just act like, well, some of y'all are going to do this today. Well, you know, Pastor was kind of on a rant today, and I'm just not sure about this Holy Spirit thing. Okay, then I'll tell you what. You are a person who is not reading their word. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. If you say that when you leave here, remember, you're not reading the Bible that I'm reading. And it doesn't matter what version you have, just read the thing. You'll find out that I'm right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Now, here's the prayer that he's praying. He prays two of them in Ephesians, and I was hoping to incorporate both of them today, but I couldn't. So we're just going to deal with this one this morning. But here's his prayer. You'll recognize some of it. Because this is where I took some of the prayer that we've prayed over our children since they were born. When they were conceived and we found out about it. Then we were laying hands on Diana and we were praying over them. We're believing God. And this is part of what we prayed. Verse 17. So this is his prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope. Everybody say hope. To which He has called you. You know, it's amazing to me how many believers don't even know that God has offered you hope. He might find you in a pit, but He says, you know what? I'll give you hope and you can get out of it. But you have to listen to me. And most of us are like, well, you know, I've got this pit decorated pretty nice. I'm pretty comfortable with it. Why do I have to leave? Can't you just work through me down here? Well, the only problem is you're the only one in the pit. Till you get on your cell phone, call your other neighbors that are in the pit. You can't help each other. That you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. Listen to this. What are the riches, plural, of His glorious inheritance in the saints? And then here it is. You guys aren't going to believe this. And what is the immeasurable greatness? Everybody's immeasurable greatness. Of His power toward us who believe. According to, everybody say according to. See, this is the kicker. This is what throws everybody off. We want God to do everything. We just want to lay down on our beds. We want to go to sleep at night, get up in the morning, and we want God to work everything through us. And that's not what He says here, because He says all of this according to the working of His great might. And according to that working of His great might is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in each and every one of us. So if you're not living according to this, you have no power. I mean, listen to verse 19 and 20. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above. Everybody say far above. Because, you know, sometimes we just read these and we don't get it. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all and all. Mm. Oh, my goodness. So through the Holy Spirit we have, and look, I'm not even getting into the message yet, but listen to this. This is what He says in verses 15 to 18, okay? We're going to look at 19 and 20. But this is just what He says in 15 to 18. I would be satisfied with this, but God isn't. Listen to this. Through the Holy Spirit, we have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the eyes of our hearts being enlightened by Him. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to know what is the hope to which He has called us. Man, I'm glad He didn't just call us, but He's got a hope with that calling. That means He's calling us out. That's another message. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to know what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Now look. I would be satisfied with just those, but God says, you know what? That's just the beginning. We're just stirring it up. He's got more for us through the Holy Spirit and through letting the Holy Spirit work in us and us obeying the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, when we see this and we understand this, we will not minimize the Holy Spirit in our lives any longer. We will not. Verse 19, he's talking about that we would know what is the immeasurable greatness of His power. So we're going to look at the word power. Toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. We're going to look at the word great might, words, great might, because these are four words in here that Paul uses that demonstrates the power of the Holy Spirit when he raised Jesus from the dead, and it's working in us if we will allow him. So the first word is power, the second word is great, the third word is might, verse 20, that he worked, that's the fourth one, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, when I have studied this out, and this is probably by far my favorite message of all time. I just love this because I love the power that talks about in all of this. So I learned this out of the NIV. So I may do some interchanging with this. So if I do, just bear with me. But I want to read 19 and 20 out of the NIV. And it says, again, that we would know, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. So power, mighty strength. And then here's this is what I love, verse 20, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And so the word exerted, in the ESV it says worked. Okay, but I just, when you exert energy, you know, that just, something's happening. Work, you can just go to work and sit on your butt, but he's exerting here. So, you ready for this? Four words, and they all talk about the power of God. However, I can't go there yet. I'm like, you know, I'm studying this out, and I'm like, you know, because I knew I was going to this, and I'm like, God, this is so awesome. Can't wait to preach it again. I know these words, got them highlighted in my Bible, you know, got the definitions there and everything. I mean, it's like, this is like your dream. And then God turns me on to these. Whew, you ready for this? Now look, those four are great, but then he says this. The first thing that he talks about is the immeasurable greatness of his power. So we got to look at immeasurable greatness first. Isn't that awesome? I like that. Go back to verse 19 if you can. Immeasurable greatness of the ESV. Now, immeasurable. Now, I'm going to give you some Greek today, so just relax. Immeasurable comes from a compound word. It's hyperbolo. Hooper means it describes something that is above and beyond anything else. Okay, so there's nothing like it. Balo means to throw or to hurl. And you say, well, how do you get immeasurable out of that? Here's the picture, all right? It's the picture of somebody shooting a bow and arrow or having a bow and arrow, and they're pulling the arrow back on the bow to hit the target. But they have so much immeasurability that when they let go, it shoots it so far above and beyond the mark because of the strength and the power that is associated with it. That's immeasurable. In other words, when he let go of the arrow or she let go of the arrow, you didn't see the arrow anymore. It's immeasurable. Woo! So, it depicts somebody overshooting their goal because they put so much energy in pulling it back and letting it go. Not that they put it, they just had it. And this is talking about God, his immeasurable greatness. And so you say, well, I want to see your greatness, God. Well, do you know, even when you die and get to heaven, you're still not going to exhaust his greatness? I can't even fathom that, but I'm happy. Immeasurable greatness. When you get to heaven, you're still not going to be able to measure his greatness. Sign me up. Not that I have to go right now, but I can't wait to get there. Can you imagine what that day is going to be like? But he says this is ours now according to the Holy Spirit working in us. Whoo. Greatness. Oh, greatness. You ready for this? Megatheos. And they translated it great, but that's not the real word that needs to be translated here. It really means vast, and so great that it's so vast. Okay? Isn't that awesome? It means that the power of God that Paul is describing to us is boundless. It has no boundaries. It's that vast. It's immense. It's limitless. It's measureless. It's that vast. It's beyond human ability to measure. And we haven't gotten into the power words yet. And we would know that we would walk in the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. I want to believe. I want to believe some more. And we just sit around and we think, well, God ain't doing nothing in my life. He can't do anything in my life. There's immeasurable greatness available to us. You can't even measure the vastness of God. Even when you die, you won't be able to measure it. Oh, all right, power. That's the first word that he uses here. And it's the word in the Greek, dunamis. And it means from, or it's from, to be able. It means power, ability, achieving power, capable. In other words, God's power is capable of doing what he wants to do in our lives, and it's immeasurable or immeasurably great. Isn't that awesome? We obviously, I know y'all are smart. You figured this out already. That sounds like dynamite, the word dynamite. That's where we get the word dynamite, okay? It means the power of God, his almighty energy, capacity, potential. And it doesn't just denote mighty power, but it means tremendous power, overwhelming power. It's the supernatural power of God, which is explosive, mighty, and awe-inspiring to those who see it or experience it. You ready for this? Thank you. It describes in Greek, in Paul's time, it describes the assembled force of an army whose combined strength enabled them to achieve unrivaled victories. In other words, there was nobody who could stop them. The troops were so strong that they simply could not be resisted in any way. It's the word that you would use to describe the power found in a hurricane. It is a power so mighty that it is impossible to resist or impossible to defeat. Now look, I hope you get this. That's just one word that's working in us. One word for power working in us. I would be happy with that. But on top of that, he's already thrown in immeasurable greatness of this power. So this power that's in us can't, there's nothing that can stop it. There's nothing that can stand against it. And we walk around as if we are defeated. As if we have nothing to offer this world. This should get us excited and be thinking about dancing while I'm preaching. I mean, it's like, and again, this power is in us according to the working of the Holy Spirit in us. And we don't want to obey the Holy Spirit. Why not? The enemy wants to minimize the Holy Spirit in our life. No wonder. Because when we let the Holy Spirit be minimized in our life, we don't have power. No wonder he doesn't want us to find out about the Holy Spirit, because then our life will be changed, and so will his. And he won't like it. And may I just remind you, we're just getting started. We have three more words. And this is all by the Holy Spirit working in us. All right. The next words, they kind of go together. So I'm going to define them and then we're going to bring them together. In the ESV, it's great might. In the NIV, it's mighty strength. Okay, so we'll look at great or mighty first. And I'm not going to try and pronounce the Greek, but it means this. Great or mighty means strength, brawn, force, vigor, potency, virility, stamina. It denotes strength which is present or felt. It's a compound word from strength and to have. In other words, you have strength. Physical strength. It deals with our physical strength. But guess what? It also deals with our mental strength. Isn't that awesome? It conveys the picture of a very, very strong man, such as a bodybuilder. A mighty man with great muscular capabilities. Now, I just want to remind you, this is God's power at work in us. Okay? This is the kind of might that he gave us in the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. All right, the word might or strength, great might or mighty strength. The Greek is kratos, and it means strength or might, especially controlling power, dominion, prevailing power. Power that is demonstrative, eruptive, intangible. Whew. Means you can touch it. Means you can see it. Isn't that awesome? And in the Greek, in the order of words, this word is actually first. Okay, so, and it means a little bit, but, you know, but this is how awesome this strength is, this might is. It's we're not to the fourth word yet, we're just on the third. But when you put together his immeasurable greatness of the power of his great might, and the next one, this is all that God used when he raised Christ Jesus from the grave by the Holy Spirit. So this is the Holy Spirit. And this is the same Holy Spirit that is living in us that raised Christ Jesus from the grave. That didn't just raise him from the grave, but breathed into him new life. And didn't just raise him from the grave, but just took him all the way up to heaven and seated him on his Father's throne at his right hand, giving him the dominion and power and authority over everything that can be named down here. And we walk around as if we don't know God. We walk around in fear. We walk around in insecurity. We walk around in shame. Do you know shame doesn't stand a chance with this? Well, Pastor, you just don't know my life. You don't know where I came from. You don't know what I've done. Okay. Well, then you better get a hold of his power. He'll bring you out of that pit. And we know that on the day that it raised Jesus from the grave, from the dead, it was eruptive power. Amen? It shook the ground. It shook the earth. There was no doubt what was happening. The Holy Spirit is speaking life into Jesus, bringing him back to life, pulling him out of the grave, pulling him out of death, out of the grips of death. And I would be happy there, but he doesn't stop, and he takes him all the way to the heaven and sets him down. That was some outward demonstrative power. Now, here's the amazing thing. When we talk about a bodybuilder, you know, we think, well, they have to go to the gym and they have to work out and all this. You know, so I hope when I mentioned that, you didn't think to yourself, well, I hope God made it to the gym today. I hope he's still working out. I hope he still has enough, you know, and he has that power. Let me tell you, this power is like love to God, okay? It's like love to him. The scripture says that God is love, all right? He doesn't have to work love up. He just is, okay? He doesn't have to talk himself into loving you today. He just does. You know, sometimes we have to talk ourselves into loving one another. And this for power is the same thing. He doesn't have to go to the gym. He doesn't have to work out to work this power up. It's who he is. It's him. And we get him. We get him. All right, putting them together, great might or mighty strength. We have to remember that the word kratos, great or strength, is the demonstrative, outwardly manifested, eruptive power of God, which now operates in every believer. But the might, the strength, is the force behind the greatness, okay? And so it's all who God is. He doesn't have to work it up. He's just letting it be released. How could God raise him from the grave? Because that's who he is. He's got that kind of power. He's got that kind of strength. He's got that kind of might backing it all up. He doesn't have to go get it from somebody else and borrow it from somebody else. He just does it because that's who he is, which means that we don't have to live defeated. We don't have to live captive. We don't have to live in a pit or in a rut. You know, we know Christians that just live in ruts. They're just going in one direction and it's not good. Or we don't have to live just going through the motion. We have power to overcome whatever comes our way in the natural realm. We don't have to live in insecurity. We don't have to live in fear. We can rise above all of this. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead is working in us, is dwelling in us. And God wants us to work in accordance with it, so that we can become all that he has desired for us to become. And so it's no wonder the enemy wants us to minimize the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we're not even talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit yet. Think about that. We've bought into that lie. Well, you know, those people that have the Holy Spirit, they're really weird. Yes. The Bible calls you a stranger anyways. A foreigner, alien to this world. That's weird. So if they call you weird, okay. But let it be because you're listening to the Holy Spirit, not because you're weird. You see, when God speaks, there's so many times that we start arguing with Him. God, is that you? Well, yes. You couldn't have thought of that on your own. I mean, like when He asks you, serve this person. Well, I don't want to do that. That's how you know it's God. Cook some maid rites for him. Oh, can I tell the rest of some of that story? So she took it last Friday, you know, the Friday before. She had co-workers that weren't there. They know how this lady treated Diana. And they come up to Diana on Thursday and they said, well, we heard that you made maid rites for her. Why would you do that? Isn't that awesome? And they would remind her of how this girl treated her. So why would you want to be nice to her? Because she's obeying the Holy Spirit. Whew. Can you understand that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom now? You just thought that was a nice saying. You just thought that Paul just needed to fill some space on the paper. No, he's understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us out of whatever we find ourselves in and then to begin to enter into a realm of freedom. All right, the last word, worked, according to the ESV, but exerted according to the NIV. It's the Greek word energio. Energio. Obviously, you figured out we get the word energy from it. It means to be at work, effect, to be active, in action, to bring about, cause something to happen, set in motion, start. Reminds me of Philippians 1:6. When Paul says to them, he says, look, don't worry about it. He who began a good work in you will be able to complete it. How? Because Paul knows the power of the Holy Spirit. And when God begins to exert himself in us and we allow him to exert himself in us and the Holy Spirit comes in and we start listening to the Holy Spirit, then we get energized with him because he's working in us. And all of this is the kind of power, the kind of energy that the Holy Spirit used when he raised Jesus from the grave, and the power of death that was on him and the power of the grave that was on him. And it was nothing. It could not stand in light of God. And this power, all of it, all of this power is available to us who believe. And no wonder the enemy doesn't want us to know about the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if we walk in this truth, we will become a free people. People empowered and expanding the glory and the kingdom of God here on earth. And you thought you had to wait to get to heaven to do something phenomenal. Now, I will caution you with this. This is not the life for those who are waiting passively, or those who are timid, or to those who casually check in with God or the Holy Spirit. or listless in walking with God, just trying to get to heaven. You know, I just love the way God is. He gets us on our way to heaven. And then he says, while you're going there, let's let some heaven down. Let me let you tap into some heaven. But see, this only happens when you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen if you just are casual in your thoughts towards God. If the Holy Spirit is an afterthought, well, you know, he's the third person of the Trinity. Yeah, I know that. But I just don't know. Well, don't you know? Now you know. There's a life out there for those who are eager for all that God has for them and are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, who desire to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Anxiously, and not in a bad way, but anxiously, getting up in the morning and saying, God, how can I obey you this morning? How can I walk with you this morning? Anxiously desiring to obey his voice, not afraid to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stand with me. At the end, play the first video. Now, I did, we did the Jeremy Camp song just before I preached because it's a great song. And I wanted it to stir something up in you, to get you started thinking about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same power that raised him from the grave is available to us. And just the same power that overcame the enemy in the life of Jesus, which is our enemy, is working in us. Will you just let him work? Will you understand that there's power associated with the Holy Spirit? He's not an afterthought. He doesn't want to be an afterthought in your life. He wants to be the power in your life. Can you imagine the immeasurable greatness, the immeasurable vastness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of the Holy Spirit? The same Holy Spirit that God used to raise him from the grave. So powerful that the earth shook. You've heard me say it before, and I'm just going to let you know this morning. If you don't want your portion, I'm going to try and get it. Because some of you will walk out of here and you're like, he preached way too long today. And you'll miss it. I want to close reading this set of scriptures. Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. So he's talking about us. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that we may know the hope. What is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Father, have your way in our hearts and minds. Cause us to be a people who are hungry, who are eager who are anxious to hear your voice and willing to obey him. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, go out in the power of the Holy Spirit.